Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR and for joining us this morning. And I am joined by Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be on the show with everyone today.
In case anybody's wondering, yes, Walker is my youngest son. I have two sons. He's my youngest. Fred Jackson. We're not relatives at all.
So far as we know.
We're brothers in the Lord.
That's right. That's where it counts.
Fred Jackson got the job straight up here. You know.
You betcha.
No nepotism. Fred. Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, it's all good here in KC this morning. How are you, Tim?
Doing well, and looking forward to our show today. Dr. Frank Turek will be with us in a few minutes. What's Frank going to be talking about, Brent? Here's Frank's topic. I asked Frank, what are you going to talk about? He said, top 10 ways to advance the gospel at the holiday dinners, Ray.
So, for real? Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
You know, we got everybody's, you're getting together and there's parties and, you know, you get around that family dinner table, Tim, there can be a lot of people there
right.
of different points of view. So, we need some help.
It'll be good. I can predict one that Frank will not bring up.
What's that?
If you're sitting around the table, Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. Hey, reprobate, pass the potatoes.
No, that's not on the top 10.
It's not there.
It didn't make the cut.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No. There are some who would do that, though.
Yeah, I would not recommend
that's
that.
That's not a good one.
At least for...
Unless you want to get the potatoes in your face.
Right. And that would, you know, you haven't even opened the gifts yet, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, do the insults after the gifts.
Exactly. Hey, that is a very interesting topic, though. During the holidays, you know, as Ray said, a lot of times big family get-togethers and people don't always see eye to eye on politics. What is the saying? Don't talk about politics or religion.
Right.
So we'll ask. But the Bible tells us, we do talk about religion. At least we're supposed to be witnesses for Christ. Well, how do we do that? What should be our approach during the holidays with people that maybe don't agree with us? So Dr. Frank Turek will explore that coming up in just a few minutes here on the program. Walker, how are we getting our program out there?
Yeah, we always get the program out on the internet in a couple different forms. First off, we're on Facebook. Today's Issues on Facebook. Go there, watch the show, get the news articles there. We're also on YouTube. You can watch the show live streamed on YouTube. And lastly, you can go to our website, AFR.net, and not only listen to Today's Issues, but catch all the shows that you hear on AFR. AFR.net is the website.
I know a gentleman who goes to holiday gatherings or family gatherings once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. And his one of his family members is a homosexual, openly gay man. And this fellow I'm talking about is a evangelical Christian. They get along. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I mean, it's kind of an awkward family gathering there. And that happens to a lot of people, maybe even listening to us right now. So how do you handle those kinds of situations? Let's get started. Fred, what's in the news today?
Well, as we speak, we are awaiting the sentencing of former national advisor, security advisor to the president, Michael Flynn. Now, he's been in the news a whole lot for a while, but especially over the last couple of weeks. With the revelation, of course, about when he was interviewed by the FBI agents on the 24th of January, 2017. Remember the FBI agents over to the White House? Hey, Michael, you don't have to worry about bringing a lawyer with you. We're just going to sit down and have a chat. Then the FBI, of course, the news is now confirmed that the FBI turned against him. And he has suffered greatly financially because of this. Now,
just one caveat there.
Sure.
One detail. He did, some people say lie. He did tell them something that was not true.
That's right.
In the course of a interview with two FBI agents having to do with a meeting that he was in or attended with a Russian...
Russian ambassador.
Ambassador. It was not an illegal meeting.
No.
The contents of the meeting were not illegal. It's just the mere fact that he didn't remember this meeting. I'm sure General Flynn had a lot of meetings with a lot of different people, but they nailed him on that.
Yes.
That's what the FBI nailed him on that. And some people would view this almost as entrapment.
Yes.
So go ahead. So today his case is before the judge in Washington, D.C.
Judge Sullivan. Now, here's what's interesting. Back about 10 days ago, when he made an initial appearance before Judge Sullivan, he made the argument about not being told to bring a lawyer to this meeting,
right,
which raised questions, legality questions, like, you know, this person's supposed to reread their Miranda rights. But for FBI agents, as I say, don't bother bringing a lawyer. And then they use the contents of the interview to bring charges against him. And so Judge Sullivan then asked the Mueller people, the FBI, I want a transcript of everything that took place. I want to see what
evidence. They have
evidence.
To provide that?
Yes. They were supposed to provide.
But were they secretly taping the meeting then?
Yes. Well, the contents of the FBI agents.
Yeah, they're called 302 forms.
302
and forms. And it's just a transcription of what happened in the meeting.
Yes.
From the FBI agent's perspective.
So that was delivered last Friday, but greatly redacted. So here's some speculation that that's going today, that the judge may actually throw out the charges against Michael Flynn based on the FBI not telling him to bring a lawyer, in fact, telling him don't bother to bring a lawyer to this meeting.
Mm.
So we're going to wait and see. The other thing, of course, is that the Mueller team saying that because Michael Flynn cooperated so much with the Mueller investigation, that they recommended that he not be sent to prison. So we're going to have to wait and see. We're watching all this unfold even as we're sitting here right now.
Yeah, it could happen. That decision could come down, you know, during the show here today. But, you know, I've read all about this, and I've watched it. Tucker Carlson did a great job on this. Sandy Rios has covered this at length. Ray.
Right.
While you don't tell the FBI something that's not true when they're talking to you, the way this whole thing was set up with General Flynn was, law professor Turley, Jonathan Turley, is that his name?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think from George Washington University, himself, I don't know if he'd call himself a liberal, although he voted for Obama and he says he is, he's a Democrat, basically. He's a constitutional law professor. He said what the FBI did to General Flynn was put him in a cage and shoot him. In other words, they set him all up for this, violated protocol, FBI protocol, took advantage of the fact that they were just moving into the White House, told him don't get a lawyer, and then they use this all against him on something that was not illegal, by the way, a meeting with FBI with a Russian ambassador. He's meeting with all kind of ambassadors, I'm sure, and people from around the world who want his ear because he's about to be national security advisor. So, and then General Flynn has to sell his house to pay his legal fees. Now, this whole thing, to me, I don't know, was just wrong, the way it was handled, from everything I know, Ray.
Well, number one, he's a good man, and he's a patriot. He has served his country well. And I think we ought to just call it what it is. I don't know whether you'd say entrapment, but it was a setup, right?
Yes.
They were setting him up.
A trick.
To catch him.
It was a trick.
It was a trick. Okay. Yeah. This is not the first time the FBI has done this or the police have done this. It happens, right? Second, Tim, you made the point earlier, if he did mislead, if he did tell a lie, or if he simply, I mean, you got to tell the truth when you're talking to the FBI. But the crucial mistake is basic rule, right? Don't talk to the police when they want to question you unless you have a lawyer present or talk to your lawyer first, right? So that's just, it's a tragic situation he's been dragged into. Wouldn't it be huge, though, if the judge threw out the charges altogether?
Yeah.
Talk about turning things upside down.
Yeah, yeah, and that could happen, and we'll see if that happens. I hope that happens. Quite frankly, I just think this whole thing was completely mishandled from the FBI's own admittance, Walker.
Yeah.
You know, Jim Comey, the former FBI director, he was basically bragging on how he went around, you know, went around protocol.
Yeah, that's right. And it's Michael Flynn, General Flynn did plead guilty, but just because you plead guilty doesn't mean you're actually guilty. I mean, you still have
right.
to be.
Your lawyer advises you on stuff like that.
That's right. And he may have ulterior motives. Maybe that's a better angle legally to take. But there are disputes even amongst the two FBI agents who were in the White House in General Flynn's office. Even they've said,
as he was hanging the curtains.
Yeah, right. As he was putting his lamp shades
right,
up
right,
and stuff.
Right.
They've even
right.
said that he didn't lie. Yeah, he may have said something that was technically inaccurate, but that doesn't mean he intentionally lied.
Right. And he wasn't lying to cover up a crime.
That's why, as Fred mentioned, the judge wants the 302 forms
right.
from the actual visit with Michael Flynn, because here's what the judge is going to do once they pull the redactions out. The judge is going to look at the context of the statements and say, was General Flynn intentionally misleading or lying to the FBI agents?
You know,
that could cause the judge to say he wasn't, and then he throws out the charges.
I'll just say one other thing on that, and then we'll get to our guest, Frank. You know, it's amazing to me the double standard that exists with the FBI, the Justice Department, the government, however you want to phrase it. Lois Lerner was the FBI worker. I don't know what level she was, but she was. Remember that? She got called before, and it was turned.
Right.
It turned out that the IRS was basically being biased against conservative groups. Remember
right.
that?
Yeah, Tea
was,
Party groups.
It was proven. Mm-hmm. That was proven. Well, Lois Lerner, working for the FBI, working for the IRS, she pleads the Fifth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "I'm not going to testify."
Right.
Fifth Amendment often is used to prevent self-incrimination.
Mm-hmm.
So you have IRS lady, okay? She's more than a lady. But I don't know her title. So she's the one that's guilty of this, evidently. And whatever happens to her,
yeah,
huh?
Right.
Whatever happens to her. You don't ever hear from her again. She pleaded the Fifth, and here we have Michael Flynn. We just described what happened to him.
Yep.
There's no comparison to me of the situations there, and yet she goes free, never to be heard from again because she pleads the Fifth Amendment, and Michael Flynn's may go to jail. Who knows?
By the way, James Comey did the same thing as Lois Lerner, at his two appearances before this committee.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
No, he broke the record.
I don't want to, with the help of his Department of Justice lawyer sitting beside him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah, Comey has turned into a Democratic mouthpiece, basically, and a lot of the things that he says. All right, well, anyway, we can talk about this more later. We'll see what happens with General Flynn. Nonetheless, whatever happens, or irregardless of what happens, or regardless, I'm not sure which one is appropriate there, we need to pray for General Flynn and his family because they need it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we want to welcome to our program Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examined Ministries. Frank is with us most Tuesdays that he is available or feels like it. He joins us from Charlotte, NC. How you doing, Frank?
I'm feeling like it today, gentlemen.
Okay. You feeling like joining us today?
It's only a week away from Christmas. You guys know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe. We've already come to another Christmas season. Hey, you've got it. By the way, tell our listeners your website and what's there, and then we want to jump into this topic that we're going to talk about.
Well, on our website, we've got a lot of evidence that Christianity is true. And, in fact, one of the things that we want to talk about today is the top 10 ways to advance the gospel at holiday dinners, because I don't know about you, but they can be awkward, can't they?
Yep.
Especially if you're a Christian and you know the people at the table are not, and they're kind of hostile to Christianity or apathetic. I mean, what do you do without making it seem so uncomfortable?
Well, you're going to answer that question, Frank.
Oh, we're about out of time.
You go for it. Top 10 ways to advance the gospel at holiday dinners by Frank Turry.
Well, we're not going to go through all of them, but if people go to our website and click on subscribe, we're going to email this to you tomorrow. So you got to sign up by today. this may seem obvious, but
what's the website for those who
crossexamined.org. Crossexamined with a D on the end of it.org.
Okay, it's called bait for your website, but
go
ahead.
Just click on subscribe right there.
It's a good bait, though. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing, this is going to sound so pious, but it's true, and that is to pray. Start praying now for opportunities and for hearts to be open. Then what you want to do is you want to volunteer to do the prayer before the meal, right? Because if you keep the prayer short and you thank God for the guests by name and the food, and you thank God for coming to earth in the person of Jesus to pay for our sins and to offer forgiveness and salvation for free to anyone who trusts in Christ. If you do that, you've got the gospel in on the prayer, and nobody will interrupt a prayer.
Okay.
So look, you get the gospel out right there during the prayer. That's
so
why
you sign up for the prayer ahead of time.
Sign up for it. Say, I'd love to do the prayer, right?
Okay.
But start out by thanking God for the people that are in the room.
Right.
And then the food, and then the gospel. So that's number one. Prayer is important.
No exceptions, by the way? Like
no exceptions.
Pray for everybody in the room.
You got 18 people there. You might not go through.
Right.
Thank you for the Hodges family to be here. You know, you could do that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay, go.
Second thing, I think, and this is going to sound pious again, but you ought to serve. You ought to get off the couch and serve people as if you were a real Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Oh, no.
Hey, Frank, can I ask you a hypothetical?
Yeah, go ahead.
I know you're not done with your 10 or your few that you were going to mention, but what if a family member or a friend or someone you're with makes a statement on a position that relates to the Bible, and you think that they're totally off? I mean, they've said it something like, you know, everybody goes to heaven or something like that.
What do you say?
Do you say anything?
Yeah, that's actually number five. So let's just jump to number five. You're way ahead of me, Walker.
Sorry about that.
No, that's good. When somebody says something that's wrong, it's not your job to refute them. It's their job to support whatever they say, right? So if they say something, well, everyone goes to heaven. First thing you ought to say is, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Hitler goes to heaven?
Hmm.
Right. I mean, just ask questions. What do you mean by that? Or how did you come to that conclusion? Or what evidence do you have for that position? And if you ask a couple of clarifying questions up front, people are not going to have the intellectual justification to even back up what they thought they believed. Because most people have heard a slogan, and they think the slogan is true, and they've never been asked for evidence for the truth of the slogan. So if you ask for evidence for the truth of the slogan, they're going to be out of intellectual justification. Then you can have an opportunity to provide some evidence back. Now, many of the questions that I just mentioned here are in our app, the Cross-Examined app, two words in the App Store, Cross-Examined. And these two questions, what do you mean by that and how did you come to that conclusion, we have in the app. They're also from my friend Greg Kokel's book, Tactics. And they're great questions to ask. So say, Walker, somebody says, well, you know, I can't believe the Bible because it's been changed throughout the centuries. Well, your first question should be, what do you mean by that? What do you mean it's been changed throughout the centuries? Because quite frequently, they don't even know what they mean.
Hmm.
The second question is, how did you come to that conclusion? Have you investigated the manuscript evidence for yourself? How many people are going to say, well, yeah, just last night I was up reading a book about the Byzantine line of manuscripts? No, nobody's going to say that. So if you just call them on their slogan that they're saying, they're not going to be able to actually back up what they say. And then you can transition to the third question. After you say, what do you mean by that and how did you come to that conclusion, you can say, have you ever considered that the New Testament scriptures have been not changed throughout the centuries, because we have over 5,000 of these manuscripts all the way back from the second century to the time of the printing press. And by reconstructing these manuscripts, we can get all the way back to the original, what the original said, with 99.5% accuracy. And the 0.5% doesn't affect any real meaning or theological
point. Hey, what's the score of the ball game?
What's that?
What's the score of the ball game? Pass or dressing?
Oh, yeah, they try and change the subject. Well, they try and change the subject, that's fine. Just go with it, because they're not interested anyway. You could resurrect somebody from the dead right in front of them, and they wouldn't believe. So it doesn't matter at that point, right?
But you know what? A lot of times, yes, what you're saying is we shouldn't feel the need to force feed.
Nope.
Because that, you know, we can't do the Holy Spirit's job, okay, number one. And number two, but on the other hand, we should take the opportunity as it presents itself, or if we have an opportunity to share the gospel in different ways. Frank said, pray for folks, serve them.
Ask questions. What do you mean by that? How'd you come to that conclusion?
Right. Those kinds of things. We're talking to Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K, and his top 10 ways to advance the gospel at the holiday dinners is available, all 10 of them, at the website crossexamined.org. Crossexamined.org is the website. Give us one more.
All right, one more. After you ask some tactical questions, what you may want to do is, if they say something that Walker had said, you might want to seed the conversation. For example, if they say, well, I can't believe in miracles. I've never seen a miracle. First of all, you might want to say, well, what do you mean by a miracle? And then secondly, you might want to say, you know, even atheists admit that the universe began to exist out of nothing. Well, if that's the case, if the universe began to exist out of nothing, then it would seem that the first verse of the Bible is true, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. If the first verse is true, the greatest miracle of all, then at least other miracles are possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just plant a seed like that and see where the conversation goes. Or if they say, well, you know, there are errors in the Bible, your first question might be, well, where are they? And the second thing you might say is, well, you know, even if you're right, does that mean that Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Let's say there are errors in the Bible. That, you know, someone got to the tomb before somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's an error.
What if you say to them, they say something like that, and you say to them, you sit on a throne of lies.
So this is a friend of yours?
I'm just saying, do you think that's appropriate for me to say?
Oh, you mean you can say that to them?
Yes, to them.
Yeah, and then pass the potatoes.
Oh, man. All right.
I think just asking questions. The key questions are, what do you mean by that, and how do you come to that conclusion? And let people hang themselves. They're not going to be able to get out of that.
Okay. Right. Hey, Frank, thanks so much, brother, and appreciate you being on. Appreciate your show. Tell us what time it airs Saturday. You come on Saturday and Sunday, and who's going to talk to this weekend?
Well, I'm going to have my friend Bill Federer on it. We're going to talk about the origins of Christmas.
Okay.
Saint Nick and all that. And we'll also reveal another question, and that is, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? There's another question to ask over the table and see what they say.
Okay. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it, Frank.
Thanks, brothers.
Okay.
Merry Christmas. We're not doing this next week.
Right.
Right?
I don't think. What is next week?
Christmas.
Day. Christmas.
Day. No, we won't be here.
I'm not coming in.
No, we won't be here. No, see you, Frank.
All right. God bless you guys. See you.
All right. Take care.
What do you think about what Frank just shared with us there, Ray?
I don't think he got the elf reference.
You don't think he did?
Yeah. But I did. I thought that was good.
The funniest.
You said it.
I knew that sounded familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the funniest lines in a movie right there.
Yes. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that is. He looks down at the fake Santa and says,
you sit on a
throne of lies. All right. We will be back in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, you want to watch the show, go to our Facebook or YouTube pages. Just type in today's issues, and you can join other listeners there, and we'll post the stories that we're talking about on our Facebook page. So Fred, Ray, Walker, and yours truly, we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
It is not the church's responsibility, nor the school's responsibility to evangelize and disciple our children. It is the Christian parents' responsibility to evangelize and disciple our children.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, Stephen McDowell has been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades now. He is one of the best historians I know. He is president of the Providence Foundation, and no one documents early American history, especially the Christian aspect of early American history, better than my friend Stephen McDowell. He is going with us on our spiritual heritage tours, and he'll be talking all along the way and answering questions, and you're going to enjoy spending time with him if you're able to go with us in June or September. Again, we're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and we're also going on a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you'd like to go on either one of these or both of them, contact us at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Remember when Starbucks announced they would open their bathrooms to all comers, no matter if they were customers? Well, their policy is working out as all of us right-thinking people thought it would. It's a colossal mess. In Seattle, drug addicts are using Starbucks bathrooms as a place to dispose of hypodermic needles. Television station KIRO reports it's so bad in some stores that workers have had to take antiviral medications to protect themselves from HIV and hepatitis. Bathrooms in New York City Starbucks have been overrun by vagrants and the homeless. Conditions are so bad in some stores, the bathrooms have been locked down and barricaded. The open store policy came about after two black men were arrested for refusing to leave a Philadelphia Starbucks. And while the coffee chain says they don't want their stores to become public bathrooms, that's exactly what they become. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show right here. Today's Issues on AFR, American Family Radio. Walker with Tim, Fred, and Ray. Ray, what do you have at your website related to Christmas at keepbelieving.com?
If people come to keepbelieving.com, they can look up at the top of the homepage, and it says Christmas Promises. We're in the last week of an Advent journey through the promises of God. And every day since December the 1st, we've been taking a different promise. And we have this available as a free ebook, so you can download it from our website. And every morning from December 1st through December 25th, I'm doing a Facebook Live at 8 o'clock Central Time based on that day's devotion. So we're taking a journey through the promises of God. Today was the promise of transformation. Tomorrow is the promise of freedom from fear. All the way up to December 25th, the promise of a Savior. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and download the ebook, Christmas Promises. It's free, and join us on this Advent journey.
Now, is that PM or AM you're doing that live Facebook?
AM. AM, yeah.
Every morning, 8 o'clock Central Time.
Yes, sir.
You're doing the you're doing that live. How long does that last?
Oh, about 8 or 9 minutes, 10 minutes. Kind of, sort of depends on depends on how much I have to talk about, but you know, 8 or 9 minutes, something like that. So, and then we've got hundreds and hundreds of people are watching the video every day. And we you know, archive it afterwards on my Facebook page. So if you can't be there at 8 a.m., you can watch it anytime during the day.
Yeah. Well, we encourage people to take advantage of that. Ray's ministry is keepbelieving.com, keepbelieving.com. Just one other question. I'll save it till we get to the weather report here from let's move to that right now if we could.
All right.
Bump that up, Fred. Bump that story up to the top.
The polar.
Yeah, there you
vortex.
Go. Pull
polar
that story out.
Tell vortex.
Us. Whoa. I don't like anything that starts with that.
Now, go ahead, Fred. Tell
All
us
right.
what's going to happen.
Scientists
here.
Warn.
Uh-huh.
Climate researchers are sounding the alarm on a polar vortex that's predicted to sweep through the U.S. East Coast later this month and inflict one of the harshest winters in years, according to the Washington Post.
The East Coast or even dip
East
down
Coast.
Further?
East Coast, it says.
Okay.
It quotes Judah Cohen of the Atmospheric and Environmental Research told the paper his climate models indicate a vortex is likely to hit in late December or early January. Mm-hmm. Now, a vortex is a long period, an extended period of really, really cold weather mm-hmm. with possible snow mixed in. You know, you read these things after a while. It is December and January
right.
in North America. What's the big news about cold weather moving
spoke
into
spoke like a true Canadian right
the,
there.
The
Fred.
New York Boston area. I mean, really?
I know. We've always had cold weather and we've always had hot weather in the
It's December, people.
Yes, and we have hot weather in the summer and cold weather
yeah.
in the winter. And if we have a mild winter, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was looking at there's Nova Scotia webcams. Looking at Halifax, Nova Scotia, the capital city this morning, they got a snowstorm. This is not unusual.
Right.
Having grown up there and lived there, this is not unusual.
You know, to show how these scientists who know a lot more about this than I do, but to show how there's so many varying opinions that are claimed as fact, I was reading an article, that Fox News piece right there that you got, and in it said that some of the scientists say that polar vortexes are caused by warm weather in the spring and the fall
right.
before winter gets here.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking to myself, now how does that work?
Yeah.
You're telling me there's warm weather 6 months ago and then that caused the polar vortex in December. I don't know how that science is going to add up, but to your point,
let's go back.
We may have a cold
six
winter.
6 months ago, there was warm weather. That's right. breaking news.
Right.
That's called June and July.
Yes.
I know.
Right.
I want to ask you, the reason I brought your name into this, Ray, was you ride your bike on a daily
right.
basis, and I wanted to ask you, what is your cutoff temperature where you say, in the words of our late president, George H.W. Bush, not gonna do it.
Not gonna do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent. What are you, 20, 25?
The coldest I have ever ridden my bike was in Chicago a few years ago, 9 degrees. And I was bundled up with like 17 layers and like the abominable snowman. And the problem with that, it takes 40 minutes to get ready and 40 minutes to undress. And so it's like a half a day deal to do that. So here in Kansas City, I think – I will ride down to about 25 degrees, something like that. If the roads are, you know, if the trail where I ride, if it's basically dry.
Yeah.
Because if it's wet, if it's 25 degrees and it's wet or it's windy, it's pretty dangerous at that point.
Ray, are you aware there are gymnasiums that have stationary bikes inside?
My wife has made this point to me many times.
That you could avoid spending 40 minutes getting dressed up to go outside and bicycle outside.
Yeah.
The older I get, the more I see the wisdom of that, you know?
Yeah. Ray's trying to keep
years
it
ago,
real.
That's right.
Authentic exercise. Get out in the
that's
wide
right.
open.
That's when the television cameras come out and they find the guy who's on a bike at 9 degrees. We need
That's
to
right.
talk to him.
That was in his younger days, though. All right. But yeah, you got to
today.
You don't want to hit an ice patch, that's for sure. So.
That's right. Then you're gone.
Yeah.
Then you're in trouble.
Then you're rehabbing in the hospital. You're not
That's
exercising.
Right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Fred.
Well, let's go back to how we started. The story about today that Michael Flynn will be sentenced. They're now saying the sentencing is imminent.
General Flynn.
General Flynn, yes. Now, Walker was talking a few moments ago about the FBI's Form 302. This is the transcript of the interview the two FBI agents made of their conversation with General Flynn at the White House on January 24th.
By the way, one of those was Peter Strzok.
That's right.
The infamous, I guess they had four agents over there. Peter Strzok was doing a lot of duty.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Strzok, whatever his name is.
Peter Strzok, who we now know is a big Hillary Clinton fan. But anyway, investigative reporter Sarah Carter has taken a look at this 302 form and basically is saying the FBI really tried to entrap Flynn. Cut five.
If you look at the 302 itself, the lie is right up at the top of this 302 because they said they notified him of the nature of this interview. And that is inaccurate. They never notified him of the nature of this interview because they asked him not to bring an attorney. And they were looking at him for possible criminal purposes. They were trying, in a sense, to entrap him because they already knew what the conversation was that he had with Ambassador Kislyak, and they were going to him.
You talk about a travesty of justice. This will go in the books as one of those. And like you said a while ago, General Flynn, if he knew the nature, as Sarah Carter is saying, of this interview, remember yesterday we played the clip of then James Comey, then FBI director, kind of bragging about the fact he was taking advantage. Remember, this was only day four of the administration.
Yeah.
They were still moving into the White House.
Yeah, I was surprised by, some people would say, well, why would you be surprised at that? I was surprised at James Comey's public admittance that he chose to try to take advantage of the fact that General Flynn had just moved into the White House, and he would go over there and try to get around the normal protocol for interviewing senior executives at the White House. I was just, wow, you're admitting to this? So you have the clip, Brent? Okay. So
this is James Comey.
So we're going to hear James Comey over the weekend. I think he was on one of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what listen to how he describes this.
Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. So if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
Wow.
Every time I hear that clip, it's about the third time I've heard that. I wouldn't have gotten away with it.
I know. This is the FBI director, former FBI yes. director, talking like a crook.
Like a thug.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have gotten away with it in the other administrations, but he knew he could.
Wow. Anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues. All right. We'll tell you if the ruling comes down on General Flynn.
Yet, James Comey, who was interviewed by the House committee yesterday again, had the audacity to then come out of the hearing yesterday, he had his little faithful flock of reporters around him, and he went on a rant about how unfair he has been treated and that the Republicans need to hold the president accountable. Cut number three.
Republicans used to understand that the actions of a president matter, the words of a president matter, the rule of law matters, and the truth matters. Where are those Republicans today? At some point, someone has to stand up, and in the face of fear of Fox News, fear of their base, fear of mean tweets, stand up for the values of this country.
Yeah, I have a question from Fox News, in fact. Your handling of the Flynn interview, how is it consistent with the investigations roadmap for agents, the domestic investigations operations guide?
Entirely consistent, in my view.
Director Comey, the FBI's reputation has taken a big hit over the last year. Do you share any of the responsibility for that?
No. The FBI's reputation has taken a big hit because the President of the United States, with his acolytes, has lied about it constantly. And in the face of those lies, a whole lot of good people who watch your network believe that nonsense. That's a tragedy.
So we just played James Comey.
Yeah.
Let's blame it on Fox News.
Yeah. So, but it's Fox News' fault. I haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah, I mishandled the Hillary Clinton investigation. She got away with all kind of crimes, but it's Fox News' fault.
Yeah.
His demeanor is one of a crusader. A crusader for the Democrats.
Right.
You know,
this is not the sober, impartial search for truth here. This is a man who hates the president, hates what he stands for, hates the way the president does his business, right? And is going to blame the problems at the FBI on the president, which that frankly is preposterous.
You know what? Here we are. April will be 2 years, Walker, when we get there.
2 years of just Robert Mueller, but the whole Russia thing's been going on for going on 3 years.
Going on three
before President Trump was even nominated to be the Republican nominee, it was going on.
But you know what? I have mixed feelings about an independent counsel, and my mixed feelings, Ray, are changing to be against it. The reason is this. And, you know, independent counsels, so to speak, or special prosecutors, sometimes they're called that, they are hired by the federal government to avoid any appearance of partiality or partisanship when researching or investigating a crime that's been committed by a high-level official, a president, for example, with Bill Clinton. You had Ken Starr, example. The problem with this is, and now we have Robert Mueller, is that, I understand the reasoning for that, but the unaccountability for an office like this leads to really bad things. For example, when you can go in and raid the lawyer for the president, the personal lawyer for the president, when you can go in there and overtake his whole office over, Michael Cohen, I'm talking about, the rat, as Drudge calls him, I think President Trump called him that. Hey, he's not a good dude, okay? But he's a lawyer, and you go in and you raid his whole office, and you find out, so far, there's no Russian collusion that could change the election. There's just Michael Cohen didn't pay his taxes, and he paid off a couple of women on behalf of President Trump to keep their mouths shut during the election, which was, I'm just saying, if you take a man and he has the power to investigate everything in your life, and he has unlimited resources, with all kind of lawyers, and by the way, these lawyers that Robert Mueller has are all Democrats. Many of them Clinton contributors. They have a political axe to grind with President Trump. Mm-hmm. So it just seemed to me like, Ray, if you had a investigation by the Justice Department, for example, or the FBI, then you would at least have some accountability there along the way. You may say, well, President Trump would tell the Attorney General not to do a proper investigation because he wants to hide the facts that he was, you know, colluding with the Russians to change the voting machines in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on that night. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I do. And, you know, the idea of the special counsel, I mean, it's a useful idea. The theory being, get somebody who is highly respected, basically nonpartisan, and free from political pressure. Okay, that's a good theory. It's in today's world, it's almost impossible to get that anyway. And this is the exact opposite. This is a partisan witch hunt under the guise of a special counsel or outside counsel. So it's the exact opposite of what the idea was meant to be in the first place. It has just, you know.
And you can, and like with Michael Flynn and like with Manafort, I don't know what all he's, but these are unrelated issues to what Mueller's point of existence is, and that is to prove a crime that the President of the United States changed the election using the Russians,
right.
Which And I'm saying if you go fishing, all right, let's use another metaphor besides a witch hunt. You go fishing and you stay out there looking for the big bass. Looking for the big bass, and you catch 10, you know, crappie or whatever like that. You stay out there long enough, you're going to catch some fish.
The original sin here was when this investigation was launched based on no identifiable crime.
Right.
Historically, prosecutors, the FBI, investigators, locally and federally and statewide, they are aware of a crime that has taken place,
right.
Bank robbery, tax fraud. They're made aware of the crime, and then they go investigate to find out who's responsible and what they can be charged with. In this case, an investigation was launched, a fishing expedition was launched, based on a hypothetical crime. If you read the Rosenstein memo that where Mueller was hired.
Is this how this started?
Yeah, where Robert Mueller was hired, it said to investigate possible collusion between the Trump campaign. So even at that point, there was no crime. Like you said, you start a fishing expedition with no crime, you're going to find all kind of stuff, and it's very unfair to the people involved.
People's lives are destroyed, too. I'm just saying, raise your hand out there if you want the FBI investigating everything you've done in your life. You know, maybe you missed paying your taxes on your property. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just, so we'll see what happens with Michael Cohen, with General Flynn.
Michael Flynn.
Today. But also, you know, you start talking about build their own President Trump now for wanting to build a hotel in Moscow.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with this. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, just one more point. You heard James Comey, who in his mind walks on water, has done nothing wrong. Well, this morning on Fox and Friends, they talked to Chris Swecker, who spent 24 years as an FBI special agent. He has a very different view of what Comey is doing to the reputation of the FBI. Cut number two.
He's been a big disappointment, and he has made the job of every FBI street agent harder because of his statements and his obvious partisanship. He's tone deaf about this. It shows how unsuitable he was from the very beginning to be the FBI director, making up his own rules. And then here's the guy at the top, breaking every rule in the book. That explains why his inner circle, McCabe, Strzok, Page, felt justified in doing the same thing. They lie, they leak, they're partisan.
That was the environment. And I would add one thing. I think it went above James Comey, but he was a willing participant, with Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States at the time. And before Loretta Lynch, the former AG.
Right.
For
Barack Obama. Who met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton.
Yes, Loretta Lynch met on the tarmac. I believe.
Eric Holder, you mean.
Eric Holder. I believe there was a concerted effort within the Justice Department under Barack Obama in those last months to basically, when they realized that Donald Trump was going to be the candidate for the Republican Party, they set out then to discredit, and if he won the election, to make life miserable for him.
Well, and also, as equally as important, to protect Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Huh?
And we know that.
Because they were all those top people there you just mentioned at the Justice Department / FBI, they wanted Hillary Clinton to win.
They're friends of Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're friends.
Right.
So
all these text messages that came out, mm-hmm. hearing James Comey talk, McCabe, was that his name?
Yeah, Andrew McCabe.
And no wonder President Trump was upset when Jeff Sessions recused himself. I mean, who wouldn't be? You might say, well, can't President Trump fire Robert Mueller? Yes, he can. He could fire him today. Am I right, Ray?
Right.
He could fire him today. Am I right, Fred? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
He could fire him today, but President Trump has to, this is going. President Trump has to weigh what the ramifications of that are, mm-hmm. and he may have the Republican Party turn on him because he would be accused of trying to cover up quote, crimes by firing the investigators, sort of like the Saturday Night Massacre back during Richard Nixon's, you know, he had the eight, was it the AG? He had fired the Archibald Cox. What I'm saying is you use your power to subvert an investigation that could harm you. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But that would be the accusation that would be, from now till next year, the end of the year next year would be the CNN interviews every day, all day about this. So there is a political risk if the president were to fire him. But I tell you what, you're going to reach a point, Ray, where you just say, if you're Donald Trump, you may say, you know what, to heck with this. I've had enough. And
how could it get any worse?
If I get criticized, I get criticized. But right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell the world that Robert Mueller must report his findings by the end of February.
Yeah.
And if then after that, his office will be terminated by me, and I will take the political fallout such that it is from the Republicans, Democrats, or whoever. We're not going to go on seeking people out who's been in my friendships or my orbit and investigating everything they've done in all their business deals, and then we find something like tax evasion, which has nothing to do with the voting machines in Lansing, Michigan,
right?
On the night of the election, and we're gonna nail them to the wall. So we'll see what happens there. All right, have you got anything else, Fred, besides this story?
We're quickly approaching the deadline come Friday. With regards to whether the president's going to get his $5 billion for the wall, or the Democrats are going to get what they want, or a government shutdown. Well, you know, one of the reasons the president has given he needs that wall is for national security, to stop this unending flow of people entering this country.
Also a campaign promise.
Also a campaign promise. Really interesting this morning, Fox and Friends had an interview with Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and he reminded people, it's not just the issue of people entering this country illegally. It's what they do when they get here. And he talked about what Texas has faced over the last 6 years with crimes committed by these illegal immigrants. Have a listen to what he had to say. Cut one.
25 to 30 million people here illegally. Now, most aren't criminals, but a lot are. And every time I hear people on Fox or whatever station it is talk about, well, these people are law-abiding citizens. In Texas alone, we arrested over 200,000 illegal immigrants, charged them with over 500,000 crimes in a six-year period. Those are real numbers. We apprehend people from the Middle East. We apprehend people from all over the world. It's not just people coming here from Central America that could be terrorists. We have to have a secure border. The president is right. I hope he holds the line, shuts down the government if we don't build this wall. We cannot absorb the criminals, and we cannot absorb the cost. The taxpayers have to pick it up.
Well, there you have it. And he raises one question there. He said he hopes the president holds the line. And Walker, you just pointed out there's a story out there right now that maybe, unfortunately, there may be some caving at the White House.
Yeah, it's looking like the White House is backing down from its original demand of $5 billion, and it looks like they're going to settle for less and keep the government open. But my thing is here, if Trump's not going to shut down the government and veto the spending bill that doesn't have $5 billion, then don't even threaten it. Because when you threaten it, it's a waste of time. It gets everybody all worked up, and everybody's arguing amongst each other, amongst themselves, for nothing. So, you know, it's just frustrating that time after time, President Trump talks about a government shutdown, and then we get to the date, and he doesn't do it. So he needs to pick one way or the other, and this time he's back down. And, of course,
is he already
the
is
Democrats
that for sure?
win.
Is that for sure?
Well, according to Sarah Sanders, the
well,
spokesperson.
Well, it's almost impossible to maintain and sustain a government shutdown. So I would not threaten it at all, because especially if you're never going to follow through with it.
Right.
So, but the president will try to take probably the $1.5 billion that he gets, and then I think they're going to try to use Pentagon money also to build the wall. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.